Oh, gosh. Okay. You know, gun laws are complicated. They're complicated, and so if you don't, and they are complicated. There's all kinds of different gun laws, and when you don't know the answer to a question about gun laws, best thing to do is to look it up. That's always been my rule, you know, just look it up. So that, you would think, would have been the choice of the media yesterday and the evening before and today with regard to the decision about Defense Distributed and their CAD files on 3D printed guns. You would think. You say, oh my goodness, I've never heard of this before. I think I'm going to look it up. That didn't happen. And so now we have had 2 days almost solid of insane hyperbole to the point where it has become an embarrassment again for the mainstream press to once again have gone into a debate, not even a debate, but pronunciations on guns without any knowledge whatsoever. So, but it is a bit, you know, I mean, the Undetectable Firearms Act, what does that mean? You know, what are the rules? You gotta look it up. John Lott, he looks it up for a living, and he actually does research on this stuff for a living, and he's with Crime Research Center. He's on the phone with me right now. John, how are you?
Doing great. Good to talk to you again, Vicki.
Good to talk to you as well. I mean, I could have done an entire segment on this NPR video that tried to, without actually doing it, prove that the AR-15 round is the most deadliest round on the planet. You know, but let's...
Are you serious?
I'm not kidding you. They didn't explicitly say it. They tried to leave the impression that it was just, you know, this uniquely deadly round. I will send you the video so you can have some fun with it. But let's talk about 3D guns. And you know what, it's like nobody realizes that there are guys right now listening to my radio show and listening to you on the program who are in their workshops right now building an AR-15. You know, it's like they don't realize this happens. It's legal. It has been legal for a long time, as has been the ability to get technical specs or CAD files on the internet or in a library.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, I can give you links to websites that you can go to where you can get exactly what you're saying. And, you know, I see all these discussions this last couple of days where people are saying we're going to have an unprecedented increase in gun crime after they let Defense Distributed put up these files on their website. You know, it's just, you even wonder whether these people even take the time to learn a little bit about the technology. So you can download a computer file, a program that essentially tells your 3D metal printer exactly how to print out all the different parts for a gun, and then you can assemble it and put the gun together. Or what you can do is you can take pictures of the parts, and they're computer programs that will go and make a 3D image inside your computer of that part then, and then print it out. So they could go and ban all these computer files, but it, you know, the notion, and they still wouldn't stop people from being able to print out copies of these guns, but the thing is, the notion that somehow they're going to be able to go and stop people from distributing copies of these computer programs is as believable as thinking that we've ended illegal copies of movies or TV shows being out there. You know, something like Game of Thrones, they were all estimating that there were like 10 million downloads a week of episodes during season 7 when it came out. And so, but the other thing is just, how do you differentiate this from other things that are covered by the First Amendment? So you have, you can have a book or an article on a news website that tells you how you're supposed to put together a gun. That's legal. They wouldn't stop you from doing that. But somehow, if you put it in the form of a computer program rather than just an instruction booklet, then somehow it's something that they think they can ban, as if there's a logical difference.
Yeah, instead of creating the CAD file that you can just put into the printer itself, you instead have the program that allows you to scan a 3D piece of a part and then create a CAD file. And so you get that extra step. You know, I mean, that's here. Let me be clear so people understand. Defense Distributed, which I believe Cody Wilson is the name of the young guy who is behind right. this group. Defense Distributed is the company that was constrained from doing this. All right. In prior to 2013, I think it was 2014, when the Obama administration decided that the threat to the potential to export arms was so great that prior restraint on the First Amendment was acceptable, which of course the Trump Justice Department realized it could never actually sustain in a court argument.
Exactly.
All right, but this is so 2014. Prior to 2014, all of these files were on the internet. Post 2014, just Defense Distributed's files were not on the internet, but thousands and thousands and thousands of others that were downloaded by millions and millions and millions of people were still there. All the Trump Justice Department did in this case was say, we believe that the client is correct, that this is a classic case of prior restraint, and we're going to lose in court. We are going to agree to this person's settlement offer, and we're going to withdraw this ATF rule that says Defense Distributed cannot distribute these files. But John, it's as if people think two things. Number one, people don't make guns. They think that people don't make guns, and they think that it's illegal to make a gun for in your garage, in your workshop. They actually think that's true. And number two, they think that we're talking about fully plastic guns, which is also not something that was ever the problem here. It's about files. It's about CAD files that were one company's CAD files that were restrained, but other, you know, groups out there, individual citizens, have been uploading these CAD files before and since. And this is just a stupid, stupid conversation to have.
Right. I mean, I don't even know what to add. You just summarized it perfectly on this stuff. Look, when Cody Wilson in 2013 put up the file that he did on his server, it was downloaded like 100,000 times within like a day or so.
I downloaded it.
And the Obama administration quickly went in within a couple days, said, look, we're going to treat this as if you're giving secret, CAD files for building a nuclear submarine to foreign countries. And so they demanded that he shut it down, and he did. But by the end of that week, over 4,000 servers around the world were places where you could go and still get the file. So they succeeded in getting him to remove it from his computer. But there were still 4,000 places, at least around the world, where you could go and get a copy of the program if you hadn't gotten it from him before he was forced to take it down. And, you know, the notion that somehow they're going to be able to stop people from sharing these computer files any more than they've been able to stop them from sharing movies or TV programs just isn't very serious. But, you know, to me, the big thing is there's this conceit that somehow they think that the current gun control laws are stopping criminals from being able to go and get guns. You know, when I go and give talks to universities, one of the questions I frequently ask the students is, how many of them, if I gave them a couple days, could go and buy illegal drugs? And not saying these students use it, but about 80% of the students will raise their hands saying, yeah, you know, there's no problem, they can go and get it if they want to. The thing is, the very same people that sell illegal drugs, the dealers, are the same people that sell illegal guns. These dealers there have guns to be able to go and protect their very valuable property that they have there. And the notion that somehow you're going to be able to stop people from being able to go and get illegal guns any more than you've been able to stop them from selling illegal drugs just is, you know, wishful thinking.
Yeah, well, and you can, the other thing is on just the issue of 3D printing, which I guess people don't understand. It's I guess kind of new to a concept that you know, but these are, you know, engineering and design firms use 3D printers. They take technical specifications of buildings, technical specifications. They input technical specifications into the printer, you know, and they print out a model, a 3D model of a building that they're going to build. Technical specifications can be used to generate a file, for crying out loud. This was one guy's one file. And the reason why they got upset about it is because he called it the Liberator. John, that's why he did it. That's why they did it. Because he called the file the Liberator.
It was just not the name. It was also the fact that he pointed out what's obvious, and that is there's no way you can have gun control.
Right.
I mean, it's not just saying, magazines where they want to limit it to 10 bullets. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've seen people make a magazine in front of me in like 2 minutes because it's just a box with a spring in it. It's just folding some pieces of metal, attaching a spring to the bottom, having a plate in it. Literally, I've seen people put them together in 2 minutes. But this makes it even easier. Now you just have to press a button rather than having, some metal snips to go and cut some pieces of metal. I mean, you can have a magazine made out of plastic completely except for the spring that's in there. And, but now with these 3D metal printers, you can make a copy of a gun that is identical to a gun that you can go and buy at a gun store. So they can go and ban whatever they want. I mean, I think criminals, I mean, you just look at Mexico or other countries where they essentially ban virtually all models of guns. Mexico, you can't legally buy a gun more than a .22 caliber, which is like about the least powerful gun that's made. And yet those aren't the guns that the drug gangs have in Mexico, where they have a homicide rate 4 to 5 times higher than what we have here in the United States. So, the notion that somehow they're going to be able to keep these criminals from getting guns is just
use guns for nefarious purposes, obtain guns illegally. It's as if you're listening to these stories. Well, now all of these people are going to be able to make plastic guns. Plastic guns. Remember, plastic is really the obsession that we've got on this topic today in the press.
But it's not really what we're talking about most of the time.
No, it's not. It's metal. It's metal. It's using a printer. It's not even a printer. It's a machining device. It's an automatic full machining device. It's a replicator that makes things out of metal. But it's, we call it a printer. That's the wrong word for it. It's just a really high-tech machining device or fabricating device, whatever you prefer. But printer's the wrong word for it. It's not like you can have this thing sitting next to you, plugged into your computer, and it's going to cost you $699 at the Best Buy. And next thing you know, you're goody, look what I've got here. I've got my brand new 9mm. That isn't how this is going down. These are high-end pieces of equipment here we're talking about, and in order to actually make one of these guns, you have to have access to one of these printers, and most people don't have $100,000 to have one of those things. Maybe they get a little plastic one, but you're not going to be able to machine yourself a decent gun out of a plastic a plastic toy printer like some of the ones that are closer to $2,000 right now.
I mean, you can get a plastic printer for well less than $1,000. It depends on what you want to get. If you want to get an industrial printer, one that can go and make the whatever you're producing at a relatively fast rate, sure, you can talk about $100,000. But there are other machines that are much slower that, you may be making these parts for a week or more on it, and you're not going to be producing large volumes.
No, like the guys in their garages right now making their own AR variants. Just like those guys, it might take those guys a little less time. That's what I mean. Maybe it makes the hobbyist, the gun building hobbyist, maybe it saves that guy a little bit of time. Maybe if he has access to one of these fabricators. But John, this is guns were legal to make. If I knew what I was doing, I don't know how to make my own gun, but I could go home in my garage. I could make my gun. I could make my gun. Could do it. It's legal. It's legal for me to possess it. It's legal for me to shoot it. As long as it's detectable by a metal detector, I can make one of these things. I mean, this is forever this has been true. Nothing before the Trump administration deciding to finally, you know, settle this lawsuit with defense.
One fast point, and that is, I'd love to bet one of these gun control experts who are predicting the end of the world and bet them that the murder rate and gun crime rate isn't going to go up, because I'm convinced that it's not going to change as a result of having this for all the reasons that you've been going through. But they will scream the world's going to end. I just would love to have a bet so that people can be reminded at some later date that these guys, just like they did when the assault weapons ban sunset, just like they do when right to carry laws get passed, they keep on predicting the end of the world. It never happens. And I'd love to, you know, the money can go to charity, but I'd love to be able to bet one of these guys about their predictions this time.
I'd kick
in. They're really declaring the end of the world.
I would kick in on that apocalyptic bet too, John. Thank you very much for coming on the program today. As always, it is a delight to have you. Crime Prevention Research Center's John Lott. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Going to take a break here. We'll be right back.